Talking to us on today's programme is Ian Power, who is Communications Officer with Spun Out. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Now, Ian, first of all, for those that don't know, what is Spun Out?
Well, Spun Out is a website that is catered for 16 to 25-year-olds, and essentially we are a website that provides health and lifestyle information for young people that we both kind of fact-check by professionals, and also articles that are written by young people to share amongst themselves so that, you know, it's about sharing kind of experiences so that people realise that they're not alone in experiencing any one thing, really.
Right. You're basically an internet site. Do you actually deal with clients on the telephone?
No, we don't. No, so we're not a crisis service at all. We're just a kind of a primary care health service that's online for young people to check out and read our content.
Okay. And talking about online, you are looking to the Irish government to implement some policies with real teeth. Apparently, recently in Australia, they did something.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we've seen I think we've seen that now with the action plan for bullying that was announced last week. One of the things that we want to see really is that there is actual work being done to regulate not the use of internet, but rather the social media websites, community settings. So like making sure that websites who have a community-based element to their website, that they there is some onus on them to keep that community safe, rather than an approach taken by some websites where they don't put any resources into that side of things, and just kind of leave things unchecked, you know. So I suppose that's one of the things. A lot of criticism is often kind of doled out to websites like Facebook. We would think that actually, having seen Facebook's reporting structure, it's actually pretty rigorous, and they are putting in place a system to give feedback to people who do make reports on Facebook, which is really all that you could probably ask of them, to be honest. Twitter are much more behind the curve. They have a lot more work to do. If you want to report somebody for abusive behaviour on Twitter, it takes 6 or 7 clicks, which is completely, you know, falls short of the 3-click rule in terms of reporting for abusive content on any website. So I think, you know, other websites have a lot of work to do to make sure that their communities are safe, or that, you know, that if there is a problem that some young person or anybody really that comes across, that they can report it easily rather than having to go through a myriad of different pages and not really understand how to navigate the site, you know.
Right. What do you mean by a click? Do you just actually mean a virtual click on the mouse, or?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, if you're on Twitter and you're trying to report somebody for abusive behaviour, or just to report an incident of abusive, kind of, you know, even if it's just a tweet or something like that, it actually takes 6 clicks to get from the page that you're on to that area where you can report it.
Right.
So it's obtuse, so it's not really useful for people, and it's not an intuitive way to have your reporting structure set up, you know. So they're much more behind the curve in terms of where Facebook are, where they've already got the reporting system down. They have even got a feature called social reporting, where you can send content to people that aren't even you know, Facebook members, so that they can see it. So that can be your parents or whatever. And you can also now with photos, you can kind of track your report stage, and you can see where it's at. They also make a commitment that any reports that are of a serious nature, so if somebody is intending to self-harm, or if somebody says that they're intending to take their own life, those reports are dealt with within 45 minutes. And for a global website with 1 billion users, that's pretty impressive. You know, most queries get dealt with within 24 hours, and they say that they're only able to guarantee 72 hours at the moment for all queries. So that's, you know, queries that wouldn't even, that they wouldn't deem to be, you know, a serious report or whatever. So, I mean, that's the kind of model we're looking for. We don't want over-regulation in this area. We don't want, you know, we see some movements by the EU in terms of anonymity, which is fine, but, you know, you can spend a lot of time wasted on that when really it's the behaviour you need to tackle rather than necessarily the internet or any kind of facets of the internet itself. You know, I think once a website that has a community element to it, once there are steps put in place to be able to report abuses easily, then, I mean, job done, and they shouldn't really have to be putting up with all these different regulations that all the different European countries now are looking to, you know, have country specific. And that's not really, it's not productive. It's not, you know, something that the websites would be easily able to do. I think it's much better if we approach it on a pan-European level so that we all get the same level of service rather than trying to splinter it and make it really, make it harder for the websites to do their what we really want them to do, which is keep the community safe.
Right. There is an awful lot going on at the moment about bullying in general, but certainly cyberbullying. What is the incidence, would you say? I mean, how many reports would you get?
Yeah, well, cyberbullying is actually less prevalent than regular, what you would call face-to-face bullying. So it normally, I think it's something like 1 in 4 young people in Ireland have experienced what we would call, you know, face-to-face bullying, and 1 in 6 have experienced cyberbullying. So I think, you know, the narrative around cyberbullying has been a little bit distorted insofar as that the incidence of it is actually much lower than, you know, what we would call regular bullying. So I think, it's easy to separate them, but, you know, in actual fact, they're all the same, and it's all born out of, you know, people's behaviour and the way people treat each other. And that's what we would like to focus the attention on rather than necessarily kind of the cyber element, because it's very easy to get, you know, panicked, particularly as a parent, about the cyber element, because it's quite hard to understand and it's insidious and what have you. And yes, it can, you know, it leaves somebody open to abuse 24 hours a day. So that element of it is worrying, but at the same time, it's the people who are causing the behaviour, or who are acting out in such a way to cause bullying behaviour. They're the people, and that is the behaviour that needs to be tackled rather than necessarily worrying about the cyber element of it, you know?
Right. I remember going back, gosh, I don't know how long, 10 years, maybe 15 years, when all those Rate My Whatever pages came out.
Yeah.
And I know particularly in schools, most of the schools managed to close them down pretty quickly, particularly the Rate My Teacher one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a recipe for disaster because, I mean, it was open to abuse. Have they all more or less gone now?
Well, actually, it's interesting you say that because the Rate My Teacher from my old school is actually still up there. I think, to be honest with you, with things like that, it's like it is a case of the wisdom of crowds. Stupid things will always come up online and these random websites will always appear, but the crowd will generally decide after a while to, you know, it'll be of novelty value for a little while and then people will just forget about it, just like they've done with Rate My Teacher. Nobody's actually shut it down or it hasn't disappeared. It's still there, but nobody cares about it anymore because that's the nature of the internet. It's transient. So people, you know, like ask.fm, it's the du jour website at the moment, but it's not really something that I'd be worried is going to stick around for very long. People will get bored of it, and that's the whole point about not wasting effort tackling one particular website or, you know, a group of particular websites, is that it's almost virtually impossible. We've not been able to do it with the music industry. One of the biggest kind of, you know, industries in the world hasn't been able to crack down on internet regulation. So I don't think we're going to be able to do it in terms of, you know, what you talk about, kind of websites like that and bullying and stuff like that. So I think it's much more productive to focus on educating young people that it's unacceptable. And that's probably where our resources and our time should be spent rather than looking at individual websites and, as you know, calling out websites as the cause of all our ills. They're not. It's the people who are using them.
Oh, well, of course, it always is the people. But it just seems, you know, that we're having a bullying epidemic. From a parent's point of view, and well, I'm obviously a grandparent at this stage, but how far do you think parents can control the social media and their children, particularly their... Well, it seems now, you know, 9 and 10-year-olds are going on these sites. You can block certain channels on your TV. Is there any way a parent can should block these websites on their children's iPhones or wherever it is?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that when you're introducing technology, you know the risks that are associated with it. So yeah, you can. I mean, if you're, you know, we would encourage introducing technology to young children. You know, so there is settings and tools from the internet service providers to limit the the websites that can be accessed on it. And over time, just like you give your child more independence as they grow older, so you should so do in terms of their digital independence. So you kind of, you have those settings on it when they're quite young, and then you relax the settings as they get older and as you've educated them how to behave and how to use the internet responsibly and what to be looking up and what not to be looking up, you know. I think one of the things with parents is that we need to remember that we need to have an open line of communication with young people, because, you know, there's research out today that shows that 68% of parents did not know that their children were being bullied online or being bullied generally. And I think that's a worrying statistic, because, and the reason, and anecdotally this is backed up from when we talk to young people, is that they won't report instances of cyberbullying to their parents because they're afraid that the reaction of their parents will be to take away their phone, to take away their internet access, their laptop or whatever, or to limit their amount of time online. So if you've got a case like that, you really, you know, we really need to be looking at the messages we're sending to our young people, so that, you know, when we're talking about technology, we say to them, look, if you ever experience a problem, don't worry, you won't be punished for it. We will just want to make steps to make sure that you're safe online, and that won't involve taking your access away from the internet or the phone. So I think that's a really productive thing that parents can do right now, is that you can talk to your child or your teenager and kind of make them, you know, assure them that they're not going to be punished twice. Because if, you know, if their access is taken away to something that's so, you know, so second nature to young people, then obviously they're going to feel aggrieved. And also it's a double punishment. Not only have they been a victim of bullying, but also they've had to, you know, suffer a consequence of the bully rather than, you know, being given support or help, you know.
Oh, okay. Just one final question, Ian, before I let you go. If the government bring out sort of new proposals and things like that, is it already a criminal offence, cyberbullying?
Well, actually, yeah, it's a bit of a grey area in terms of the law. So at the moment, the Minister for Justice has referred the 1998 Non-Fatal Against the Persons Act to the Law Reform Commission. And essentially, they are looking at whether or not Section 10 actually deals with cyberbullying, or whether it covers it or not. I think there will probably be a need to clarify it or to include some sort of term relating to online means of communication. And that will probably come in due course. But to be honest with you, I don't necessarily know if a law is something that's needed. I think a law is probably needed in terms of focusing the mind of lawmakers to actually do something to tackle the problem. But I don't think we really want to see, you know, 13 and 14, 15-year-olds being prosecuted for cyberbullying or getting a criminal record for it. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of issues going on with people who do kind of act out in bullying behaviour. And to criminalise them, we all have seen the effects of the criminal justice system on juveniles in this country. It's of no state at the moment, and I think introducing more young people to the juvenile justice system is not really something that's productive. So in terms of laws, it'll probably focus the mind in terms of lawmakers to actually do something about the problem, but I don't think it's something that we should be pursuing in terms of tackling bullying behaviour, because even as a deterrent, it won't do anything, because bullies don't realise they're bullied sometimes, most of the time, you know, or they're doing it out of some sort of compulsion that's a psychological thing. So, and some people are doing it just for fun, so yeah, that's fine. Laws can probably act as a deterrent in that instance. But in the majority of cases, the research shows that it's somebody who's already been bullied themselves, somebody who's, you know, subject to abusive behaviour or similar at home. So I don't really think that criminalising those young people is the way to go, and it's probably better that we look at more productive ways. Things like an education programme in schools, which isn't expensive and can be done, it's just not being done at the moment.
Right, oh, okay. I think the main thing, as virtually with everything involving children, is parental involvement.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, look, that's Ian Power, Communications Officer with Spun Out. Many thanks for your time this morning, Ian.